Good morning. Welcome to Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. I'm Michael Tilercio, pastoral intern of Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. Glad that you're joining us today for Acts chapter 20, day 509, as we continue walking through the Word. Let's open with a word of prayer, asking for the Lord's help. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you've given us an opportunity now to come before you, to see how you are kind to people as we read your word. Would you kindly reveal your son to us as we read about him, as we read about his servants and their work for him in today's passage? We pray that you would do this and that he, your son Jesus, would get glory through even our understanding of his word more accurately. Would we remember it? Would we be able to apply it? And more importantly than anything else, would we believe it? In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Acts chapter 20, beginning in verse 1. After the uproar ceased, Paul sent for the disciples, and after encouraging them, he said farewell and departed for Macedonia. When he had gone through those regions and had given them much encouragement, he came to Greece. There he spent 3 months. And when a plot was made against him by the Jews, as he was about to set sail for Syria, he decided to return through Macedonia. Sopater, the Berean, son of Pyrrhus, accompanied him, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timothy and the Asians, Tychicus and Trophimus. These went on ahead and were waiting for us at Troas. But we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and in 5 days we came to them at Troas, where we stayed for 7 days. On the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul talked with them, intending to depart on the next day, and he prolonged his speech until midnight. There were many lamps in the upper room where we were gathered, and a young man named Eutychus, sitting at the window, sank into a deep sleep as Paul talked still longer. And being overcome by sleep, he fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. But Paul went down and bent over him, and taking him in his arms, said, "Do not be alarmed, for his life is in him." And when Paul had gone up and had broken bread and eaten, he conversed with them a long while until daybreak, and so departed. And they took the youth away alive, and were not a little comforted. But going ahead to the ship, we set sail for Assos, intending to take Paul aboard there, for so he had arranged, intending himself to go by land. And when he met us at Assos, we took him on board and went to Mytilene. And sailing from there, we came the following day opposite Chios. The next day we touched at Samos, and the day after that we went to Miletus, for Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus so that he might not have to spend time in Asia, for he was hastening to be at Jerusalem, if possible, on the day of Pentecost. Now from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. And when they came to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time, from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable, and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who are with me. In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And there was much weeping on the part of all. They embraced Paul and kissed him, being sorrowful most of all because of the word he had spoken, that they would not see his face again. And they accompanied him to the ship. There are just way too many excellent truths to draw from today's passage that we have time for. And so I'd like to just swiftly, Lord willing, walk us through this passage and point out a couple of things. They may seem unrelated, but there's just so much truth here. The first is that we see after this uproar has ceased and Paul is making his way to the next area, having left Ephesus where the riot was, where his life was endangered, we see his life continuing to be endangered, a plot made against him by the Jews in verse 3. But what I'd like for us to see as he continues to serve the Lord faithfully is just the company of people around him. You have Sopater, the Berean, you have the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus, you have Gaius of Derbe, Timothy, Asians, Tychicus and Trophimus. You have this group of people that's around Paul that are servants of the Lord, that are true believers, and they're made up of quite a diverse population. We just see in these verses, if nothing else, a multi-ethnic church. And I think that should encourage us as Paul is around people who know the Lord, his life is at stake, and yet he's finding encouragement, if nothing else, even just in the company of those who are with him. He can see the Lord's hand at work in the human beings, the flesh and blood around him, and he is seeing how the Lord is saving people from all manner of backgrounds, all manner of nations and just walks of life. He sees the Lord working in these people's lives, and it is an encouragement to him. It's probably strengthening him to go on as he goes on to serve the Lord. It's probably a great encouragement to him. Here we have an evening gathering that goes on late into the evening. It's the Lord's Day, and the brothers and sisters have met together to break bread on the Lord's Day, and Paul is talking with them. So it's possibly a church service, but it's more likely a fellowship gathering where the Lord's Supper is being distributed, where there is a word being shared by Paul. But it seems somewhat less formal than we are used to on Sunday mornings where bread is broken. And yet this talking that Paul is doing with these brothers and sisters is prolonged. He goes on past midnight and Eutychus falls, and it's to his death that he falls. And it would be mainly a tragedy that we would be reading of here if it weren't for the fact that God uses Paul to raise this young man back to life. It should just be an encouragement, I think, to us to know that sometimes it's okay to fall asleep. Not that we should be foolish, not that we should fall asleep, but that it's more important to be awake spiritually. It's more important to be awake and alive in Christ, even if we get tired and fall asleep. It's funny, I've always been intrigued by how the text is written. It records what Paul says here. Do not be alarmed, for his life is in him. It's not quite written in a dramatic fashion where Paul does like a miracle like we've read of in, you know, the Old Testament and the books of Kings, where Elijah or Elisha does something and God uses that action to give life to the person that had died. Here we just see Paul kind of pick the person up and know, it almost is as if he notices that there's life in Eutychus. Kind of encourages us to see that in Christ there is life that goes on forever. I'm just thinking of John chapter 11 where Jesus says, he who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And he who living believes in me shall never really die. And I think this is just a little foreshadowing for us to see in this passage that if we're in Christ, if we're one of his people, there's life in us. His spirit is what gives life. His spirit is the one who will raise his people from the dead. And this is just a foreshadowing of that in today's passage. This last section here, this speech that Paul gives to the elders at Ephesus, he's come back to Ephesus now and he's speaking to them. We find that Paul is willing to continue going toward Jerusalem, knowing as the Holy Spirit is testifying to him in every city that he's going to and through, that imprisonment and afflictions await him. He knows what is coming, and yet he's still willing to go. This is such a great picture for us of what it looks like to obey the Lord. Because Paul's purpose is more than anything to finish his course and the ministry that he received from the Lord Jesus. Brothers and sisters, I hope that that is your desire. More than anything, more than comfort, more than being thought of well by people, my hope is that you will want to finish the course, if you are in Christ, the course and the ministry that you have received from the Lord Jesus. That is the one thing that will dissuade us from getting caught up in lesser things that we might otherwise want to be doing with our lives. There's so many temptations in this world as to what we could be doing with our time and our energy and our resources. There's so many different paths we could seek to take. But Paul is taking the course that the Lord has laid out for him, even though it's leading him to certain suffering and even death. He's willing to go forward because it's Jesus that's calling and leading him. It's Jesus that's walking with him, really, through the Spirit who's living in him. And it's the Spirit who is making clear to him what is in store for him. May that be true for us, that we would have that same desire to finish the course in the ministry that we've received from the Lord Jesus. Sometimes we'll be called to say a hard word to somebody, and it will be the Lord calling us to, in love, to challenge somebody. Sometimes it will mean going to places and being in situations that we wouldn't otherwise want because of suffering. Sometimes it will be awkward family relationships that God calls us to engage in. Just to love people that it's uncomfortable to love, but it will be the work, the course, the ministry that the Lord Jesus has provided for you. Will you walk it? Our prayer should be that we will. One other thing that I wanted to point out, there's so many things. There's Paul's warning the people that there are going to be, wolves coming in, speaking twisted things. Him warning them, him helping them to guard against lies, seeing his example of not coveting the apparel of others, what to look for in true ministers, that they're not looking to get rich. There's so many kind of jewels falling from Paul's lips here as he's sharing these truths. But one thing that I wanted to just point out is that Paul knows that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will also raise him from the dead, will raise all of those who belong to Jesus from the dead. I mean, it's not for nothing that the passage just before this one speaks of Eutychus being raised back to life. Not in the sense that Jesus was raised, but he's brought back to life. He's resuscitated, we might say, with the anticipation that one day he will be raised in the same sense that Jesus was raised from the dead. That's something that Paul is probably conscious of as he speaks these loving words, as he continues to minister here, even as he's going forward towards his death. He must know that belonging to Jesus Christ means resurrection life. And that's what enables him to minister. That's what will enable you and I to minister as we try to, God willing, faithfully carry out the work that he has entrusted to us, as we try to finish our course in the ministry that we've received from the Lord Jesus. Part of that ministry, the main thing that ministry involves, is us submitting to his words, submitting to the words that we read from his apostles like Paul. That's a hard task sometimes, to just submit to what God says in his word. But we have this encouragement from chapter 20 of Acts today, and Paul's speech to the Ephesians. We have the work that God did through Paul in raising Eutychus back from the dead. And we have just this amazing picture of what the church looks like, with brothers, sisters from all over the world being part of God's family. There's that great passage of scripture in Revelation chapter 5 that Jesus, the one whose kingdom we're reading of in today's passage, is worthy to receive a new song sung to him, in which is said, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." Amen. Let's ask for the Lord's help that we would live in light of this great reality that we have in Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you've given us Jesus Christ, the King, the God-man, who secures for himself people from all over, people who are so secured by him that not even death can separate them from him, and people that have been given a great privilege to do good work for his glory. Today, may we do that work knowing as we do that Jesus obtained us. He obtained our very lives. He obtained his church with his own blood, that there was no cost too great for Jesus, that he shed his blood and gave up his very life so that we could be made part of his family. May we not take that lightly. May we serve boldly. May we talk to people with loving, truthful words today. May we not fear what they will think of us, because we know what the King not only thinks of us, but has done for us, what he has paid for us. May that fuel us. May that prompt us. May that motivate us. May that spur us on to serve him well today for his glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Glad you could join us today, brothers and sisters, for this look at Acts chapter 20. Hope you'll be back with us tomorrow as we continue through the book of 2 Kings, making our way to the very end there of that book. Until then, God bless.